Good evening, folks. This is December 5, 2017. It's now 9 p.m. Eastern, and this is one of my anniversaries.
Oh, 50
years ago today, I flew out of California headed for Vietnam. Mm. And you got it, Rhonda.
The welcome committee is now here.
Oh, yes.
So how are we doing as far as any phone calls we're able to make? I know I'm still making them, not making a whole lot of headway, but still keeping at it. Sometimes the same people three or four times. Well,
you know, I don't understand why it's so hard to get a hold of these people.
Well, and I wonder sometimes if people aren't screening their calls and numbers that they don't recognize, they aren't answering or something, but you would think they would call back on a message when you leave it.
Yes.
You know.
And
this area has been slow from the very beginning.
Well, I have some other thoughts, but I can't prove it, so I should not say anything. But
One of the big problems, and I don't know how much, honestly, that it affects our membership or trying to get our membership to do anything, is there's an awful lot of Anna Von Ritt stuff that floats around here in Washington.
There's still a lot of believers in Anna Von Ritt's.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I know I got a couple of guys up in northeastern Washington that, oh boy, every time she coughs or sneezes, I get an email, and I told both of them, I don't want stuff from Anna Von Ritt. Oh, you got to read this one. No.
Well, it all sounds good.
Huh?
It all sounds good, but it's not her writing it. It's coming from her handlers.
Yeah. But these are the same two guys that'll send me stuff on flat Earth and the astral planes and, you know, different things like that, so I kind of take all of it with a grain of salt, look at the headline and say, don't want to read that one, and get rid of it.
Well, it's it's just amazing how people take the time to sign up to be members. And so often they drop out because nobody contacts them, they'd say.
Right.
But yet when we try to, they don't answer.
Exactly.
I have that problem when I try to contact different people around the country. They never answer. And,
yeah, we're trying to figure out why.
Well, that's that attention deficit, attention span In the last week, I've had dealings with a couple of people, on matters that, 15 minutes into a business arrangement, they're just completely, what I want to call them, idiots. And I'm afraid America is full of people like that right now, so.
Yeah. I even not an argument, but a very serious discussion Sunday with a friend that I have known for 50 years. Now, we were born the same year, just a few months apart, so she's lived through the same history that I have. as far as the country is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a comment about all of the goings-on with the pedophiles and stuff in the Hollywood. And I said, you know, that kind of smacks of all the communism that was in Hollywood back in the 50s. And she looked at me, and her eyes got real big, and she made the key locking her mouth. And I said, what? Say it. What have you got to say about it? And she said, nope, I'm not going there. And I thought, well, how ridiculous. It was proven there were communists loaded in Hollywood. Why would there be any kind of a discussion against that? But that's the mindset. She's an LGBTQRX, is okay, you know. The whole, she's a liberal. I just put it that way, she's a liberal. How in the world we've stayed friends for 50-plus years, I have no idea.
Well, I think it goes back to everybody grew up with a dishonest government, and they all learned how to be dishonest themselves to survive and make some sort of advancement financially, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Is my take on it. So Hollywood has just, you know, been bought off forever and ever. So I do recall, you know, all that about the communism, that's what it was, you know. I'm guessing that's the McCarthy era, maybe, and before that.
But, right.
But, you know, now...
And they stopped them way too soon.
Now that I'm educated, not so ignorant, when I watch movies, I can see so much propaganda and brainwashing in them and programming in them.
Right.
You know, just...
Yeah, even in the early, early stuff.
Family structure, you know, you don't need that and just go out and have a good time, just sex, you know, rock and roll. And, you know, I lived through that whole era, survived it, but, you know, just looking back on it now, I see it as, you know, it could have been the KGB. Might as well have been, you know, designing the scripts and everything.
Well, you know darn well with the amount of testing the government did with LSD and other psychogenics on the military people, and then the amount of drugs that was going on everywhere, but in California, particularly around the Haight-Ashbury area during the 60s with the hippies. They were just a bunch of left-fried minds.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. Alex Jones on his show 10 days ago, maybe 15 days ago, whatever day Charles Manson died recently, then he was trying to tell everybody that Charles Manson was a CIA agent and that he was mind controlled, and when he went and killed all those people, that, you know, that was all planned out, you know, and he was under their control. And my understanding of Charles Manson is nobody controlled him. He was his own boss. And,
right.
So I can't see that, and that's a perfect time to make such statements as after the guy's dead, you know.
Yeah. The only one that I ever read about or heard about that got away from him was Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
You mean he almost met a near-death experience, or?
Well, no,
he
was almost into the cult.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They had Manson staying at his place out there in California, once he finally woke up and figured out what Manson was all about, he had a hell of a time getting rid of him.
Yeah, because I can't think of anybody in the Beach Boys that seemed like a bad character, really.
Yeah, they were all just destructive to themselves.
Brian was in a car accident at one point and had some brain injury, didn't he?
He's still around.
Yeah.
At least I haven't heard that he's died. He and Mike Love, I think, are the only two originals that are still left.
Well, they've brought in a couple of new young guys. taken the place of the other two, and they're still doing concerts.
Yeah, yeah, I know they're still performing, but that's what I say. I think Brian and Mike Love are the only two originals.
You know, that's examples of productivity in good honest directions. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's good representation of how to be creative and be successful. So,
oh, some of the innovative stuff those kids came up with was really something.
It's amazing, that whole time period. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
And you know, with the my pet peeve, the abortion thing, 50 million aborted white children missing and their grandchildren, and they were all the offspring of all that creativity. You know, the group of people that chose not to have children over and over again were extremely talented and creative and intelligent group of American culture, and somehow they couldn't figure out what they were doing as they basically wiped out the American culture. So it existed then.
And, who just came in, 816 number?
This is LaRonda Fox.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
So are you part of the welcome committee, or are you one of our new members?
I'm a member and have been for the welcome committee. I've been a member for, a good long while, but I haven't been on the calls because I had a phone, first of all, with just limited minutes. That's all I could afford at one time was the free government cell phone. Now I just got a job where they're working a peak overtime, lots of overtime and whatever, which would have been on this day, Tuesdays, but they just all of a sudden canceled today. And so I decided I would try to get on the call today. And, you know, after January 1, I can become more active.
Well, I'm glad things are looking up for you. Great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yes, yes.
What state do you live in?
I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's getting cold here in the New Mexico mountains. So.
Yeah, it's getting cold here in Kansas City as well. Yes, I think it's getting down about 28 degrees today.
That's
tonight.
About what we've been getting here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very cold here in Oregon this morning.
Yeah.
Must be winter time.
But is this Rhonda? Is this
Rhonda?
Yes. Okay, well, Rhonda, I'm La Rhonda. Remember, I'm the one with the booklet that I've been distributing?
Oh, yes.
The Do You Know Your Rights booklet. That's me.
Right, yes. I'm sorry I didn't recognize that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were able to and decided to get on the call tonight.
Yes, thank you.
And I see Montana Dan came in. How you doing, Dan?
For me to to get off, it's still star 6 to mute?
Yep, it's star 6.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that now. I'll do that now. Thank you.
You can mute your phone.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dan, anything interesting going on in your neck of the woods? Well, I don't show him muted, but maybe he's away from his phone. So, suggestions on how or what else we can do to try to light a fire under people would be good.
Well,
I know we've all had the same frustrating experience. And outside of calling people endlessly, leaving messages when we can, I'm at a loss as to what else to do.
I notice people pay more attention to what I have to say when they witness me going through an experience involving, you know, such as my recent experience with the government. But then they at least, you know, are paying attention and interested. But you just in conversation bring up, you know, you should check out NLA.org, give them $5 a month, and go from there. You know, it's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, it is.
Well, any time you mention money, it's like the ears get clogged.
Well, don't you think, especially this time of the year, and then everything you read on the internet, they want you to donate to this or donate to that or
yep,
anything that you read. So I have a tendency to leave the mention of money to the very last. I would rather get them agreeable or hooked, however you want to term it.
I'm always wanting to make sure they know that it's not mandatory.
Right.
Yeah, I tell them that. John mentioned that he wanted to create some type of dialogue, you know, in a calling people. And, you know, I suppose if somebody's got the magic sentences, that'll work. So, but I think
that's what he's wanting to talk to the Welcome Committee about, is to get the Welcome Committee to calling people to looking for donations.
Mm-hmm. Almost like cold calling a salesman.
Right.
That's what I thought of. On the subject of the Sheriff's Handbook, and, you know, what do you suppose the average amount of counties in the 50 states is? 30?
That'd
be more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the average would be, there's 36 in Oregon. I think the average would be above that.
35 or 40? So what I'm leading up to is multiply that counties times 20 handbooks per county, and you'd come up with, if it was 40, then you'd come up with 800. And so if the handbooks cost $1 a piece, you'd need $800 to buy enough handbooks to fill a state, all their counties, 20 for each sheriff and his deputies. And I was going, you know, that might be the way to fly, is try to create some sort of effort by the committees of safety people in each state to come up with that amount of money per state. And, you know.
Yeah, that's that would be a very tough row to hoe.
I can't even find all of the books in the state where, when we when we went through and did all of the counties. There's 37 counties in Washington, and I can find 17, 18, 19 books. So I don't know who has the rest of them. So.
Well,
hey,
hey,
everybody, this is Margie. I just got on the call. Sorry I couldn't get on sooner.
Hi, Margie.
Hello.
What's going on in your neck of the woods? Have you seen that?
Just busy trying to keep my head above water, working and, you know, excited about this you know, the sheriff's handbook and everything. And
Have you read some more of it?
Yeah, I'm on page the sheriff's handbook. I'm on page 64 now. Yeah, I'm gonna try to plug away. You know, five pages a night.
Any interesting things you've noticed you might want to tell us about?
Well, some stuff I have to read over and over again a couple of times to really understand it. Or,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard, but it just that it's very, very good, but yeah, nothing else to really go over there with that. But were you on the call last night, the Monday night call? Any of you?
I couldn't get in.
Huh?
All I got was music.
Oh. Yeah, I couldn't get in the week before. But what John Durash was saying is he was talking about you, Rhonda. He said, well, the welcome committee, you know, where's Robert Bristow? He wants the welcome committee. He thinks he wants, you know, the welcome committee to help with this sheriff's committee, you know, calling our members. And he's going to put up get a little skit, you know, some words to say, and then, you know, and he wants us to try to help promote it.
I was on the call, but I couldn't get in the monitor call. I was muted, and it took a while to get somebody to unmute me.
Uh-huh.
So I was listening to John trying to get a hold of me.
How do you get somebody to unmute you when you're muted like that?
Well, I was on Skype, and Gerard is always on Skype, so I sent him a message, and he unmuted me.
Yeah, I never thought about that, because I've been on a couple times I've been muted. You can't scream loud enough to get somebody's attention.
Yep.
So you guys had trouble, yeah, this time, but I had trouble last Monday night. And then isn't it great about, did you hear about the Bundys and all? They're all released.
Yep.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's the word I put out on the call last night.
Yeah, that's what you thought. You said, I think it's over with. I mean, if they don't have any more to say.
I got to believe that it's as good as over. They say that it's going to go on, but I believe it's over.
I want to know when they're going to put that judge in jail.
Yeah, is her name, what's her name, Navarro?
Navarro. Well, there's going to be hell to pay for a lot of people.
Indictment.
Right now it's the prosecutors that are in trouble.
Yeah,
the whole case. The whole case is based on lies and deceit.
Yes.
And so everyone that was found guilty of anything, even they were released. But
even the ones
there are still people that was found guilty in the Oregon trials. And I have to believe that there's going to be some flashback on them trials too, and because of what happened in this trial.
Somebody's got some noise going on in the background. Can you mute?
Do you think other judges around the country are noticing that Navarro is changing her tune because she might be worried about her future?
I don't know whether it's because she's worried about her future or because she's pissed off at the prosecutors, because every day during this trial, Ryan Bundy and Attorney Whipple have come up with something to show something more hidden by the prosecutors, and show the judge that this whole thing is based on lies in D.C. And
well,
she was lied to also.
The difference is she's allowing that those statements to come into her court. Previously, she would ban it and, you know, have the speaker tased.
That's because the prosecution was lying to her and telling her it didn't exist and all. And then now they proved it. And
withholding
she's
favorable
upset.
Evidence?
The what?
Withholding favorable evidence? Discovery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they withheld it from her, too. So now she's pissed off at the prosecutors.
Well,
but
maybe now they'll get a more fair trial.
But it may be too late for her now.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point about it. Go ahead.
Well, there's going to be some hearings held. I know that. And there's going to be a lot of talk, and the prosecutors know they're in trouble. So if the trial goes on, I think it'll pretty much start over with new prosecutors.
Well, it's an interesting point if you think about a prosecution of a case and the prosecutor wants to look good, you know, advancement, career, always in the back of their mind is like, well, if I can hide this evidence, there's a darn good chance that I'll win this case, but if I'm truthful and present all the evidence, I'm going to lose this case, and you know, that goes right to the heart of an honest man. And how do you have an honest man whose whole career is based on getting people found guilty? So that's kind
well,
of
well, you know, that's are you, you know, are you an honorable man and live in honor, or are you just doing a job to advance your career and is making a liar out of you? You know, it's it takes a big man to be totally honorable in those cases, I know.
And with withholding favorable evidence is tantamount to planting bad evidence.
Yep.
He reaches a point where you say, well, we don't have enough evidence to prosecute this person, you know? And
that's right.
In recent history, we're not seeing that at all.
Well, even there's a female prosecutor on the team, and it came out that she was boots on the ground at the Bundy standoff. And so there's a, you know, she knows the truth, but she's hiding it just to be a prosecutor.
So don't you think they'll all be indicted too, or?
Well, they should be.
I'm driving right now. I'm trying to drive home. It's raining here, but so you probably hear my wipers going on.
That's
be safe,
Margie.
Yeah, I don't like driving in this road. You can't hardly see the gosh darn road. You know when it's raining?
Yeah, that makes it more difficult. I hope you're
in Oregon. Here in Oregon now, if you even touch your phone or look at it while you're driving, they can pull you over and give you a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, they just figured out another way to make some more money.
I mean, it's not constitutional because that's controlling our behavior.
Well,
however,
it was okay to,
go ahead.
It was okay to fiddle with the radio. It was okay to eat a hamburger, but you can't fiddle with your phone. I can see texting, you know, but still.
Well, I think it's in Washington. They're trying to ban the eating of food while you're driving.
Well, next they'll go for banning smoking in your own car, too, because it's a hazard to light the cigarette.
My understanding was Washington and Oregon were both very close to charging people by the mile for driving their automobile. What's the word on that?
Oh, that's terrible.
Oregon passed the law, but it never happened.
Ours got shot down, but it's not forgotten. We've been told don't get too happy. We're going to bring it up again.
Upkeep on the highways can purely be paid by gasoline fuel taxes, which is prorated by how many miles you put out on the highway. You're paying back for that with how many gallons of gasoline. So that's a perfect system. You don't need any of this.
Well, if they do the per mile, it's just double taxation. They say they're going to take away the gas tax. But you and I both know that doesn't happen.
Just total control. That's, you know.
Yeah, Oregon says they'll remove the gas tax with this new law. Bullshit.
Yeah, it's a bunch of BS.
No tax ever gets taken away.
Yeah, they would do that to the public, and the public's so idiotic, they'd go like, okay, you're going to take away the gas tax, but charge them by the mile. Okay, that'll work. So
that's how we got the income
tax to a fee.
That's exactly how we got the income tax.
And
that's unconstitutional,
They would promise that it was never going to be on your income, your personal income. Uh-huh.
Right. Did anybody hear about that lady? I guess somebody died or her husband died, but some other soldier died, and she was on the Delta Airline flight, and she wanted to sing. They were bringing a soldier back, and he died. She asked everybody on the plane, would it be all right? We want to sing the national anthem. And so... And then she said, if you don't want to, that's fine, too. But then here comes the pilot, and she knelt down at her, you know, came outside the pilot's place, the cabin, and said, you can't sing that national anthem because some people, it might offend some people. So she was livid, but, you know, here's what I would do. I wouldn't sing it either. She didn't either, but she said, my husband probably would be really mad at me and all, but that took the First Amendment right away, you know?
I would have sang it twice as loud.
You would have?
I would have sang it twice as loud.
Well, what would they be able to do? What would they do to you then? You know, I mean, I told her, I said, you are courageous. You are, even though, you know, you didn't do it. And I said, that's unconstitutional. That's the First Amendment right.
Well, they can stand there and tell you not to do it, as far as that goes. But you do it anyway, and the minute they touch you, you get them for assault.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Rhonda. Correct.
Yep.
Salt and battery, right?
That's right.
So you would have sung
it. Taking away your civil liberty.
Yes, it is. And your First Amendment right, right? Your constitutional right.
Absolutely.
You know, so it might offend some people because this is an international flight or whatever or something.
When I got done, I would say, now, if anybody here is from a different country, has a different anthem they would like to sing, I would love to hear it.
Okay.
Then you're not being discriminatory, one-sided, however they want to put it.
But she did ask him, she, you know, went over to ask everybody, and then they said, well, you know, and if you don't want to sing it, that's all right, too.
Well, you can always apologize after, but it's harder to get permission beforehand, so I wouldn't even have asked. I would have just broke out singing.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, I can't carry a note, so.
And I just wanted to run that by you.
No, that's what I would have done. I wouldn't have asked permission, number one. I would have just broke out in song. And if they came and said something, I'd have finished anyway. And if they catch me, then they're in for assault and battery and trampling all over the First Amendment and my civil liberties.
Uh-huh. That's very good. That's right. Because I guess I wouldn't do it because I was like, oh, okay, I'm like, all right, I respect what they say. This is their darn rule. But I'd probably tell them, this is, you're violating our First Amendment rights here. But you probably, then I'd say, you don't care. But I'd say, I would say that to them. And then
just remember one thing, no law, no rule, no statute, no edict, no EO, nothing trumps the supreme law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. I mean, we would handle it different ways, but I know that was violated, the First Amendment right. Your corporation, the Delta Airlines, all the corporations are that way. No matter what corporation you work with today, you can't even, you can't talk about anything. Or don't wear that hat. It's got the cross on it. Don't, So if you're working for somebody, you have to. Doesn't mean it's right.
We have a gas station group here, and I'm sure there are other places too. But it's close to my home, so I frequent it. They have competitive prices. But every time I go to buy a lottery ticket or anything involving smoking material, cigarettes, lighters, anything like that, I have to literally hand them my ID and they scan the back of it. Now, I just found out today that this is a company policy. It's not even a city or a county or a state law or anything, which would be bad enough. So, since I found that out, I will quit going to the establishment that takes away my rights and goes someplace else.
Uh-huh. That's what I say, the word establishment. Establishment, yeah.
And I will tell them that.
Oh, you'll tell? Who will you tell? Will you go get your...
The people that work at the place that demands my ID.
Oh, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
I said, okay, you just work for this company, but, you're violating my First Amendment right, and I'm not coming here anymore. I need to let you know that. I'm not coming here anymore.
Absolutely.
That's how I'd say it.
Well, I see a couple of the people that work there outside of their job in different places, because it's a pretty small town here.
Uh-huh.
In talking, I'm sure they'll say, hey, we used to see you at least every other day. Well, here's the reason you don't see me anymore.
Yeah, and then you'd let them know.
Yep.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Probably for back in regards to what I'm going through. I've filed several cases, as a matter of fact, in the federal court and the state courts, and it's been approximately 20 since 2001. I had a federal court judge who wants to ban me from filing any more lawsuits in the federal court, which my cases that I filed have not been frivolous. Some have been credit bureau report cases, if that matter, discrimination of employment, what have you. And so when I responded back to him, now he's saying, which I was always majority of the times also filing indigent poor person. So I responded with opposition, And then he's now is one to, instead of banning me from filing any more lawsuits in the federal court, he now wants me to start paying filing fees, even if my current position is as an indigent poor person. Can they do that?
No. I'd have to say no, because there's a paper that you do fill out, like you said, but, you know, you have to, it's financial paper or something, and you have to prove, you know, that you, if you're indigent, you know, you can file a case in there, you know, and he's just blowing smoke, or he's just ignorant. Well, I mean, that's my opinion.
I'm going to appeal that, and, you know, I was trying to look and wonder, did y'all have a case to refer me to in regard to, because I know that if I feel like I'm damaged of $20 or more, I have a right to file a lawsuit, but then
right. How
many lawsuits can I file within a given year? Do anyone know?
I don't think there's any limit. The only thing that's limited is what they call frivolous lawsuits. And if
yeah, but they're not even really want to call it. And you know what they're calling me now on the papers, which this one case that I'm going to, that I have current, you know, they're calling me a serial fowler. So I'm going to do a motion in limine, you know, in regards to that.
Well, here's what I do. I go to the Internet for everything, you know, whatever I want to learn, whatever margin, I go to YouTube or type that in. Type that in, whatever your question is, and see what comes up. What do you call a frivolous filer? Or a
serial
filer.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rhonda says, I don't know. I mean, you know, we're all just learning all this, but love is common sense. But I don't think there's any limit. But if you're indigent, you don't have to pay that $400 filing fee, but you have to, you know, fill out the form, and, you know, then they'll look at your, you know, finances to see if you are indigent, so you don't have to pay the $400 filing fee, whatever it is, into the federal court, right? Into the federal court?
Yeah, and I've been looking and looking and looking, and I cannot find a case or anything in regards to what I was just asking y'all, but I thank you. I'll go mute myself now.
No, there's no dumb question.
What?
I said there's no dumb question. There's no, you know, we're all learning here.
Have you had any successes with those cases that you filed? It sounds like you've been busy.
Do I have what?
Have you had any success with filing all those federal cases?
Well, they've not all been federal, but they've been state. But, yeah, I've had some successes, like with the credit bureau report claims. Yeah, they settled with me out of court, you know. Like, what I do with them is I would send them a notice of intent to sue, giving them 10 days to respond, which I would send it certified, the notice of intent to sue. And every time but one, they would ignore it until I go file it in the federal court. And when I go file it in the federal court, then they want to settle out of court, and I say, no, I want it all. And they give it to me in a couple of weeks. Now, it could be big money if that was the case, but mine have been small amounts. But, you know, like I've been listening to TalkShoe.com with Dallas Dave that comes on every Monday. And he and they, a lot of people get great good money that way.
Well, they may settle with you because it's a smaller amount, and it'd be a lot less than hiring legal help to defend themselves.
Well, I don't know, but that's what they do. I don't know.
Whereas when you get into a big demand for money, they'll go ahead and hire the help and that expense. So.
Yeah.
Now, when you say you file this in the federal court, where is this? Where you live? The federal state court where you live? I mean, the federal court where you live, or what?
Yeah.
In the district court.
Oh, district court. Okay. Federal district court.
Yes, ma'am.
Whichever one's closest to you.
Oh,
yes.
Now I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I think I have a federal district court I went to when John Durash said, you know, he wanted us to do some homework. you know, go see if they filed the papers. And I think I went to the right court, but they threw all those papers away because we used a different case number. So that's where I would file my cases if I sued somebody, you mean, or is that where I would go, my federal district court?
Yes, whatever the jurisdiction is your district.
You mean every city? I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Mecklenburg County, but...
It's usually a section of the state, you know. Like in New Mexico, there's the whole state, and then there's the northern district in New Mexico. And that's it.
I'm the western, I guess.
It's only 2 million people in New Mexico, so it's a low population state. You know, East Coast, there may be there's 94 federal districts in the country, so that's about average of two per state. So.
And it's the federal district court. I mean, we have a regular court. We have that, you know, regular court system, but. I went to the federal courthouse, the federal district court, and that's what you went to, ma'am. You went to where you live there.
That's where I'll be going. Yes, where I live. I live in Kansas City, Missouri, but in Missouri they got an eastern district and a western district, and I'm in the western district.
Okay. You'll
take. You're first online for the federal courts in your state.
Say that again about the federal courts in my state.
I said you can go online and do a search for the federal courts in your state.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to make sure. I think, you know, John Durash wanted us to. He was filing papers into the federal districts all over the United States, so. I had to do some homework. I said, yeah, I'll do some homework. And so I went to see if they filed our papers into the federal district. And mine's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah, mine's in where I live, Charlotte, North Carolina. I think it's called the Western District or something. And they didn't know anything about them, but they probably threw them away. So I did. Then I wrote a little affidavit about it and sent it to him. But I was just curious on, you know, just... Like I say, I'm just learning. We're just learning all this, how to do it.
Let me ask you something about the sheriff's book. Are they just wanting to send hard copies to the sheriff, or why wouldn't they try to find a source that's free, like via the Internet or the email? Is that what they're wanting to do, is to send a hard copy to the sheriff?
Yes, 20 books to each sheriff, 3,133 in the United States, throughout the United States, counties.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can download it also, you know, it's 84 pages. Have you read any of it, ma'am?
No, not yet, but I'm getting ready to get started.
I'm on page 64. It's very good, very good.
But I wonder, on the welcoming committee, will we, I don't know, because like I said, I've been inactive for a minute, but I was wondering, will we create a script and then also have a website created to invite the people to read the sheriff's book or whatever. I don't know.
Yes.
There's a list of welcome committee members that should have, trying to think, a month or 2 months ago, I sent out a script to everybody on the welcome committee and to all of the coordinators.
Okay.
An actual script as to what to say when you call people, trying to get them to become active and come to this call so that we can do some education with them.
So I have a great email list, and I was wondering, could I have permission to just go through mine and read the script to the people and try to get them to come on that way, or is it a certain list of people?
Well, it's the new welcome committee members that we're trying to target.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you're part of the welcome committee, you should have access to that list of names on the NLA website.
Okay.
Well, Robert, do you think Don is actually going to be able to come on?
What was that, Mel?
Well, I was asking Robert if he thought John was actually going to make it to the call tonight.
I don't think so now.
Yeah, doesn't look like it.
Because what he wants us to do, like I say, is he's going to come up with a we need all the help we can get. I might be able to call 10 people a week or something, but he's going to come up with a script for the sheriff's, you know, promoting the new sheriff's project in the handbook, and just a short script for us to say, call the people on the phone, the members, and go from there. I mean, he wanted to use the welcome committee. Hmm. And then anybody that wants to help, right?
Right.
The way I understand it.
Well, there's also a sheriff's committee, so they should be in on it also.
Oh, you mean from the CLS?
No.
Oh,
from
just
the
sheriff's committee. Okay.
The sheriff's
committee, yeah.
Well, that would be good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to go to the website. He says they have a new website up. Is that right, everybody? That www.thepowerofthecountysheriff.org, and it didn't come up for me.
Well, let's see. I can get on it.
It's the, I guess, welcome, I mean, www.thepowerofthecountysheriff.org, I believe. He says that's up now, and I'll probably join that, you know. He said,
well, putting it in that way, it says the page couldn't be found.
The power of the county sheriff.org?
Right.
He said last night on the call, I'm home now, and thank you for thinking of me. I mean, it was not easy driving in that rain, you know, and you can't see very well. God's always with me.
You weren't driving in blinding snow, huh?
God's always with me, all of us.
Yes,
right, that's right.
It's Jim in New Mexico again. If I can go back to William Binney, what I forgot to mention in the conversation I heard Dan Alex Jones was that President Trump had actually requested that the CIA director have a conversation with William Binney. And that's good news. William Binney was part of the NSA back before 9/11. He's a very smart mathematician working with the NSA collecting data. And within 6 weeks of 9/11, he resigned from his job. And I remember him explaining he's a constitutionalist. He doesn't like the fact the government is not following the Constitution. And he resigned basically because he witnessed the Bush administration was totally maneuvering all over the place illegally with their data collection. And so if we do have William Binney in conversation with the CIA director now at Trump's authorization, that's should be good news.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Does this Mr. Binney have a website?
I punched him up a minute ago. Just type in William Binney, B-I-N-N-E-Y, and you'll start to see all about him.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, of any government official I've ever witnessed current time, I trust that man more than any of them. He just comes across as legitimate, and he has been speaking out against our government because it operates illegally against constitutional, and he certainly constantly points out that they are, the NSA really is engaged in trying to control we the people, the population, with its gathering of information. An example, it says here 80% of all audio that American people put out every day is being recorded and filed.
Yep.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to have something to fill up that new site.
Well, just right to privacy went right out the window at some point in time. When we used to all talk on landline telephones, we had the right to privacy and could expect that our conversation would be private. And we went to these cell phones, which is radio waves, and it's collect everything.
Well, the Patriot Act took away all the privacy.
Well, why has Trump not gotten rid of that?
Benny couldn't work for that government. He resigned. And after that he was raided by a SWAT team at his home to intimidate him. And they did it while he was in the shower. They basically dressed him down naked. You know, this, he's a civilian in security. He's equivalent to a general was his rank. And you know, now he's talking to what is it? Pompeo is the CIA director.
Pompeo.
And this was Trump told the CIA director to converse with him, so that's a step in the right direction, Robert.
Yep.
I know Benny, the way he talks, you know, that's forcing the CIA director to start thinking differently.
Well, the CIA director was appointed by Trump, and so, you know, he's... He got his job for a reason, and that was to help Trump with his plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it means Trump likes Benny.
Yep. Well,
he said his first name was William.
Hello?
Yeah, William Benny. He's six
yes, I looked him up. Yeah, I looked him up. B-I-N-N-E-Y. William Benny.
Yeah.
Hi,
listen to a couple of his videos. There's one whistleblower, Bill Binney, on Tucker Carlson. It's only 4 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and Intel community not being honest with the president. It's a 7-minute video, YouTube.
Okay. Okay. Hey, is that Crystal on? Is that Crystal shouting out?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hey, this is Margie. Margie from North Carolina, Charlotte.
How are you? Well, I went to court today, and how's everybody? And I got really disturbing news, and they said, well, we're going to take your house. I said, I would like to see, I said, first of all, there's no contract, and I want to see the original authentic signatures. We don't have to show you that. It could be 100. She goes, in Connecticut, they could change your mortgage 100 times. You know, she said it's congressional. I said, but that's unconstitutional. They said, these are the laws of Connecticut. I said, but we have over 30,000 attorneys, and like all these foreclosures, there's no trials, no juries, and they're just taking everybody's property. And then that illegal WPCA, which that guy was sitting right in there, dealing some more properties, and I sat there and put out the figures and stuff like that. She goes, well, I'm sorry, this is a bankruptcy court, this is a federal court, and we're going to discharge yours, and your house is going to go into foreclosure. I said, I've had my house for well over 17 years. I said, I've owned my properties over 30 years, buying and selling. And I said, and now I'm 62, and you're going to throw me out in the street. And I've been working since I was 13 saving, and at the end of the day, I come out with zero. And I said... Um, it was, and she's like, she goes, well, under the Connecticut statute, the congressional, this is what they do. And she goes, it doesn't matter, you know. And I said, but it's still unconstitutional on what they're doing to the people. And we do have our constitutional rights because these laws, I said, the attorneys, all of them, they are from, their jurisdiction was from England, you know. And it, I had all my stuff together, and I kept on objecting, and I'm like, I want the proof, the no due process, the proof of claim. I even had the MERS thing down there, and I said, no, just like when Shelton Silver, who was the Attorney General in New York State for 43 years, he was one of the head ones with this Ponzi scheme, with this fake mortgage. I said, I used to work in the taxes, so I said, I would know, and I had to do all the recordings and deeds. You know what I'm saying? I said, I had a little more knowledge than the average Joe Schmo, my husband, being a bank manager and stuff like that, and you can't change anybody's signature. She goes, well, it's changed now. I think she's, I think, what did they say? It's from 2002, they changed it.
Who are you saying all this to? Who were you talking to?
This
the
was
judge?
The federal
or?
Judge, yeah.
Oh, good. Judge I'm proud Brown, of you, yeah. Crystal. I'm proud of you.
You know, but I just came home from the Kingdom Hall, and I've been just praying to Jehovah. You know, it's, Satan's powerful, and, I, you know, it's funny because they were going over Habakkuk and Zechariah about the lawlessness, and all these things are going to be exposed, you know? And we see how
That's
things
right.
are in the last days, so... You know, say a prayer for me. I'm saying a prayer for each and every one. And, you know, but I said, I'm still going to be fighting. I'm not giving up.
Good. I'm proud of you, though, you know. But what, yeah, what's the next step? So you said what you needed to say. So, and they're so crooked, you know. But this is, you
well,
went to the federal courts.
Right, so somebody told me to do the fiduciary and give them, as a matter of fact, the paper, because I didn't even know I had court today, and it just so happened I had called yesterday, and I found out I just got the paperwork for the court date for today, and it was supposed to be sent out December 1st. So, you know, it was like a done deal set up on me. So I guess it was shocked that I did show up, you know, and... You know, it's just like these attorneys, everybody will lose their homes because the attorneys, when you hire an attorney, they won't do the paperwork. They'll make sure you lose it. And when you follow through with the paperwork, they make sure that you don't receive what has to be done and the objection and stuff like that. But I think John said he had some paperwork from one of the attorneys that wrote it up, and we could take a class. I think it's like $272 about writing up paperwork.
Yes, the juris dictionary. Is that what you're talking about?
I guess so.
To learn that, yeah, it's a course. It's, you know, to file papers, learn how to file papers into the federal court.
Okay, maybe that's the one that he was telling us about.
The jurisprudence, you know, the juris dictionary. It's on the website there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I believe he said one of the there was an attorney that showed him how to write the papers up, and he's doing a class.
Yes, he is. The way I understand it, he's in a, the one who wrote the juris dictionary. Yeah, he's an attorney. He's an attorney.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I knew there was something that was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I'm so proud of you, and they're the ones, they're the losers, you know, and they're going to get it, but you keep sticking your ground, and, you know, we have to learn this. We have to keep studying and keep learning and to do the right thing, because I think you'll get your house, you know. Do you want the house back, or do you just want restitution, you know?
I'm living in my house. I'm living in my house. I've been in my house for 18 years.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? My house has been paid for. You know, my taxes, everything is current.
Uh-huh.
And I'm disabled. You know what I'm saying? See, it's my land, because my house is worth about $600,000 to $700,000. They tell me we're only going to give you $200,000, and you'll walk away with maybe 30 or 40. I said, are you kidding?
Well, may I ask, how did all this happen anyway? I mean, you said the house was paid for and everything, and someone just came along and,
right.
The mortgage
company?
Right,
see, because that MERS, that PHH mortgage, it was with Bank of America, Fleet Bank, which became Bank of America, and my house had been paid for. They sold it in that scam, and then it started with that PHH mortgage in 2006. And what happened, I'm the one who did my mortgage, as a matter of fact. I did the fixed rate at 15 years, and my house would have been paid off in 11 years or 10 years. And so what they did, they sold the mortgage to PHH. My mortgage went from 600 all the way up to almost 3,000. And I'm like, wait a second. And then they put me in a variable. Who changed my mortgage?
Ooh,
who signed
ooh.
My name to change it? This is what was happening. And see, I saw this happening
Crystal,
when I worked at...
Crystal, you're saying you had a fixed rate mortgage and it got changed to a variable rate?
Variable, yes.
Well,
yes.
Then you've got fraud in the court.
Yes, that's right.
And you know, so, you know, if we had an honest federal judiciary, you'd be able to go get an injunction on that immediately. But... That's nearly impossible to do with these crooks. But I'll tell you what, if that's the case, you certainly have grounds to, if they ever get your house, to get it back. So, three times that.
And then they stole our land in Trumbull. My mother, we had 47 acres of land, and they stole it on eminent domain. They said we were putting a highway through, and they stole, and it's worth almost like about... It's worth about $50 million, and they got all these corporations on our property. You know, we got nothing out of it.
With all the metadata collection and the computers, they can analyze who's got what, who's in a position of weakness, who can we take advantage of. It all just pops up on the computer screen, and they'll go right after it. It's god awful, but it's happening in the United States of America.
And what's that called? What kind of software is that called? Is that artificial intelligence?
Could be NSA. It could be the Pine Bluff huge data center in Utah. It's just the fact that once they could collect everything, you know, it ties into the 9/11 event. They finally got to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Every human being or every household has a computer in it. So they've got everybody analyzed, and it's a perfect time to pull a 9/11 and then take off. And what happened
that
after
microchip.
9/11? Right after 9/11, they immediately started robbing all the people in California. Their assets was right up front. And, don't get me started. It's unbelievable, but these people are criminals. That's what William Biddy called
them. Satan is powerful, Jesus is mighty, and Jehovah's almighty. And you know what? What's happening? It's all going to blow up in all their faces.
Yes.
You know?
It will.
It's all going to blow up in their faces. And as I said, you know, the three most powerful entities in the world is government, corporation, and religion. They're all, you know, it's just like, it's all about the money. They don't care about nobody. And
that's
it's
correct.
Really sad.
The
wealthy individuals, the elite, run the company, run the country.
Let me say something here. The private Federal Reserve basically has financed 90% of all home mortgages in the country. There may be 10% that are private real estate contracts. But the 90%, that's a big part of the national deficit. We should just cancel the national deficit, and everybody's home is paid for. And they have no mortgage. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want to join NLA if they could get their mortgage paid off on their home immediately?
Exactly.
And
also using stronger words.
And a very good place to end the call. We've been a little over an hour.
All right.
Yes.
So I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Wow.
Merry Christmas.